Episode 132, The Pink Tax, what it is and how to avoid it.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Ba-ba-bum. Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And today we are taking the day before Halloween to talk about something really horrifying.
Spooky.
This is the pink tax.
And good intro.
And I think the worst thing that you could get out of today's episode is that this is just kind of like a woe is me, I'm a girl, things cost more sort of thing. What we really want to do is raise awareness to this because, I mean, up until I wrote an article on this last year, I wasn't super familiar with it, like how prevalent it still is. It was in 2019 and is in 2020 and will be in 2021, et cetera.
Yeah. And I primarily had an association with this concept just with feminine hygiene products, but it goes far beyond that. And it is a topic that I think both men and women should be familiar with.
Yeah. To raise awareness and then also what you can do to save your money and also fight the systemic toxic, I don't know if it's even masculinity, toxic ignorance that perpetuates the pink tax. So that's that.
That's but first,
super casual today. First, our sponsors. Today, our episode is brought to you by the Frugal Friends Workbook. So whether you're new to budgeting or trying to reach a big financial goal and maybe you're feeling stagnated, stuck, bored, whatever, the Frugal Friends Workbook is designed to help wake you up. It's a digital workbook with 6 week-long challenges to help you save money, simplify your life, improve your money conversations, and more. It's over 60 pages and can be completed on your own, but it's created to be gone through in pairs or small groups to create that accountability that we all want and need. And that's why every purchase comes with 2 downloads, so you can share or split the cost. So head to frugalfriendspodcast.com/workbook to learn more and use the code TACOBELL, all one word, to get $10 off that listed price.
So exciting. Also brought to you by Under Pressure. That feeling of impending deadlines, expectations, responsibilities looming just overhead. Our sponsor today wants to warn us that things under pressure, unless ventilated, will explode. Under pressure. I'm no scientist, but be careful.
That's how all great conspiracy theories end, actually. I'm no scientist. I'm no expert, but be careful. Yes. But think but for
you
yourself.
You should be, asking these questions.
Yeah. Yeah. So the pink tax, that is not a conspiracy theory. It is actually something that exists. And like I said before, I wasn't aware of it. Like I had heard of it, but it was more one of those things that it was just like, yeah, sure. In the 50s, but like, whatever, it's 2019.
Mm-hmm. But, it's 2020 now, Jen.
Well, it's 2020 now.
I realize
now.
You don't want to,
I don't want to acknowledge what year it is. Yeah, it's fine. But I did, I researched the items that were pictured in these articles, and I'm like, let me do my own research. And the prices are still different. They're still higher for not just female hygiene products, because obviously we have more of those. Those are something we can't really get around. But for children's toys, for like hair care, for t-shirts,
Not even just for products, but for services too, which I was not aware of, like how deep this rabbit trail goes until reading some of these articles, recognizing the disparity between what the same types of services or products cost for male-oriented expressions versus female. It's insane.
Yeah. So again, this episode isn't something where we're going to be, we're not woe is me here. Our first article is going to kind of tell you where you should be looking for these things. And so where kind of it is mostly. And then our next one is ways to avoid it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, easy ways that you can kind of quote unquote fight back. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is all constructive. We are pragmatic, not dramatic. So thank you.
Well said.
Yeah. I got that from Business Chicks.
You know, it's interesting. Before we even get into this first article, this is a factor that I've noticed even in other types of products, not related to gender, but for example, in the grocery store, and I think I've even talked about this at one point, like there are different sections of the same products. And oftentimes those same products, while manufactured maybe by different companies, have drastically different price points. So like your olive oil in just your oil section might be a lot more expensive than olive oil you might find in your ethnic food section. So that's a whole other thing. I've not taken a deep dive into it. It's just something that like anecdotally I've observed that there is some sort of pricing discrepancy related to targeted demographics that I think does exist outside of genders. It's what we're focusing on today is the pink tax, but this is a thing. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying to be aware of so that we can buy smarter, know that people are marketing to us, know that some of these products are more expensive and there are alternatives, that we don't have to shell out as much money for. So
yeah, a big thing of this has to do with marketing. If you've heard of Peloton, they are a widely known example of this. They took their bike, which was selling, it was mediocre, and then just doubled the price without doing anything. And it has become the worldwide phenomena that it is now. Because we believe that things that are more expensive are better quality. Mm-hmm. And not to say that Peloton is not great quality. People just realized the quality that it was when they doubled the price, but it didn't need to be that expensive from the beginning. This is kind of one of those marketing tactics. I'm sure a lot of marketers will believe that women will buy higher priced things because they believe it's higher quality, and men will prefer to buy lower cost things because they don't care about quality as much. That's a known stereotype, while not necessarily true. But it is something that kind of perpetuates this pink tax. And so what is the pink tax exactly? It's a system of let's say this is from bankrate.com, and the article is How Women Pay the Pink Tax. And it's defined as a system of discriminatory pricing on products and services that is based on gender. And it's estimated that the pink tax costs the average woman $1,300 a year and impacts all aspects of daily life from shopping to dry cleaning.
It's amazing. They even have this infographic within the article showing that a woman, by the time she's in her 70s or 80s, has paid upwards of $130,000 on the pink tax just for, the products, services, gifts that she may have purchased throughout the year. And I will say one of these articles makes the point that this doesn't just impact women, it impacts men as well who might be purchasing products for any reason, but going to maybe a more female-oriented product and purchasing that thing, you're also paying it. So it impacts everybody, but particularly the women who are buying these products. Mm-hmm. I think while we don't want to be amplifying in any way, I do think that it's worth just breaking down some of the statistics that are given to us in these articles. These statistics actually come from our second article, The Simple Dollar, but it's worth stating in this portion because we're talking about what it is. And so they give these percentages that women pay 92% more than men for dry cleaning dress shirts, like a similar dress shirt, a white button-down dress shirt. Sometimes if a woman brings it in versus a man bringing it in, you can pay 2 to 3 times more. I mean, 92% more. That is significant. Next percentage is that women will pay 54% more than men for a haircut. I absolutely know this to be true. It is absolutely double. Women pay 13% more for personal care products. And I mean, the beauty industry, my goodness, that could be a whole other episode, topic, book, whatever you want to call it. That yes, you are paying a whole lot more to buy personal care products. And not to mention, feminine hygiene products are subject to sales tax in 35 states. That is a significant portion of states that charge sales tax on necessity, where often food and other necessities are not taxed. This is considered to be a luxury item. So yeah, I would just love to have a few words with the person who thinks that this is a luxury item in any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
I get so ticked every single time I am in the feminine hygiene product aisle. Oh, for so many different reasons. The way that they're trying to market to me, how much things cost, the fact that this is even a part of my life, that's a whole other rant.
Husbands are so grossed out by this. I'm sure that if you talk to a husband, they know it's a necessity. For themselves, it's like, please, get it. I just clean it up.
There's some new ways coming out that can help save money in this regard. We're not going to take a deep dive into that today. At least I'm not, because I don't want to waste my time there. What I do want to talk about next is women's credit scores. This is a new one for me. On average, are 9 points lower than men's, even though they typically carry less debt.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's one of the reasons why credit scores are lower, because credit scores kind of run on how much debt you're paying back. And, you know, so it's not just something that like is for, you know, middle class people. I love this story down here where entrepreneur David Hansen publicly accused Apple of Goldman Sachs of gender discrimination after his wife's application for an increased credit line was denied. Hansen pointed out that his credit line was 20 times higher than his wife's, even though they share finances and she had a better credit score. So this affects every like class of woman.
And of course, they blame it on the algorithms in the credit card industry. And as this article points out, it's really hard to figure out if an algorithm has a bias because there's so many factors that go into it. But debt to income ratio is a big factor, which is also a gender specific type of concern, that because women on average make 79 cents to every dollar that a man makes, yeah, that's definitely going to impact your debt to income ratio. And this article also points out that that's just white women. For women of color or Hispanic women, that ratio drops to about 74 cents for every dollar that a man makes. So it's a bit of an uphill battle over here. But we're just bringing awareness and we're going to talk about how to do something about it.
Yeah. And there is, there are new statistics talking about the wage gap. And so this is an average. It's actually now coming out that for men and women at the beginning of their careers see more, see the exact same pay rate. But when a woman gets to about 30, 32, that's when the wage gap really like starts to take off.
Whoa. We're right there, Jen.
Right. And so as I think a lot of listeners of this podcast are probably around our age. So this is something, and I've said this for a long time, like we actually need to like stop putting so much emphasis on the wage gap and start focusing more on the wealth gap, because that's an even bigger disparity. There's so much more to work on there. So, but we need to like fight for our pay increases and our raises and our promotions. And, you know, if we're not getting those, then finding jobs that will pay us what we're worth. So, again, that's a tangent on the pink tax. But still, if we are paying $1,300 a year more, then our incomes need to be able to support that. And we don't always put those two together. And we have a lot of single women listening to the show saying it's very hard to get ahead. It's hard to pursue debt freedom or financial independence. And yeah, it is harder. So that's why we need to kind of work harder at the most effective and efficient areas of work.
Yeah, if you're making less and it's impacting your credit score and you're being charged more for the products that you buy, it's impacting your ability to get a car, purchase a home, and keep moving forward. So like this thing that women are identifying as why is it so hard, especially these single women who are writing into us, there is something real. First of all, like you're validated in some of those feelings of what is happening? Why can't I just keep moving forward? And there are some things that are inside of our control that we can do to keep moving forward and find ourselves in a better place a year from now than we are today. But there's also some systemic, wider, bigger concerns and issues that are happening as well. So both on the macro level and the micro level, we want to look at what are some of the things that we can be doing and be aware of so that we can be smarter consumers.
A few other things in this article that women tend to pay more for. So we already know about the razors and the shaving cream, but also jeans. So shopping around for good prices on jeans will be very beneficial to you, because you're not necessarily going to go out and buy men's jeans. Like you can switch to a man's shaving cream, but you still want to, I still want to wear, you know, jeans that hug my curves. So
I'm not gonna lie, I tried on Eric's jeans one time. That was a mistake.
he's a lot taller than you.
Yeah, I know. I just thought like he's a dude, like his pants are gonna be like so big on me, I'm gonna be swimming in them. And then I put them on and they fit me and I was mortified. And then I go to tell him like, hey, I did this weird thing, but now I have to tell you, like, I put on your pants and like they fit me. And he's like, well, yeah. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, yeah. And he's like, your butt's bigger than mine. Yeah, that was a fun day in the Sirianni camper.
Don't do that.
No, don't try on your husband's pants. It'll end poorly.
Yes, but getting jeans, not just like fast fashion jeans, but jeans that will last, that you can have for a very long time. Children's toys. So there are a lot of side-by-side comparisons of children's toys, the pink or female version being more expensive than the blue or unisex version. Laxatives, they said. So pretty much anything that's marketed, that's targeted toward women. So it... The pink tax does not discriminate. That was so interesting to me.
Like, yeah. Why laxatives? This is no different.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
They were even saying, they said something about Old Spice like deodorant.
That you can switch to some products maybe that are unisex or more geared towards men. But if you're not trying to smell like Old Spice swagger, then you've got a problem. Which, right. Yeah, I think Old Spice smells gross. So
my dad wore Old Spice. So for me, it's nostalgic. But like, I don't want to smell like my dad.
No.
So no. So maybe what I'm thinking of is in the next article. It does say that for example, the average cost of a woman's pair of jeans at one popular retail is $62.75, while comparable jeans, men's jeans at the same store or 5709. If you're fitting into Eric's jeans, you have to anticipate it's not less denim.
Exactly. So, not that much different.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's get into our next article then. And this one is from The Simple Dollar. It's how women shoppers can beat the pink tax. Mm-hmm. Jill, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, it was helpful. I think that they took both an approach of what can you do just in your daily life to help to combat actually spending money on the pink tax, and then what can you do larger view to really combat this pink tax systemically. Mm-hmm. So one of the suggestions on here of how to avoid it is to consider unisex products, which I like this suggestion, to be aware that, hey, just because something is pink or geared towards women, it's going to cost more. Is there an alternative in a unisex option or even in the male option? Like you mentioned, the razors, like it is true that female razors cost more than men's razors. And yet men's razors seem to work a whole lot better. They've got more blades mm-hmm. to them, like you name it. It's simple example, but that's one of them. Does it have to be Venus that you're shaving your legs with, or can it be something else? Certainly, I would say to re-examine your beauty or personal hygiene routine. Can it be simplified? Do you have to be purchasing all of these products that are geared towards women, trying to suck you in and make you think that you're going to be like the next hottest, most beautiful, glistening, glowing unicorn being? No, like we can maybe make ourselves like 10% better. And I'm pretty sure some of your simple soaps and moisturizers can do that. So rather than being swooned by the way that the bottle looks, consider looking at the different types of products, because guaranteed they have very similar ingredients in them. It's how I shop. Like I'll look at the ones that are like, oh, all natural and organic and pretty and swirly font. And I'll look at what are the ingredients in it. And then I'll go find a bottle that's cheaper with those Perfect. Same ingredients.
Love in that. It.
Put it in a little glass jar if I want it to look cute at home, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's frugal.
Another thing to do is research the brands you purchase. And so this was actually, this list on the Simple Dollar was the one I was thinking of in the last one. And it talks about a study by the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs and found that consumer goods marketing towards women and girls costs about 7% more on average than those marketed toward men and boys. And products for women cost more in 30 out of 35 categories and span every industry. I mean, and so in perspective, the average stock market return, people generally use 7%. So, and these products mm-hmm. increase with inflation. So that's something to think. I thought that was an interesting thing, but so obviously, personal care products are the highest, and they tend to cost 13% more. Adult clothing tends to cost 8% more. This one surprised me. Senior home and healthcare products tend to cost 8% more. And there was a picture on one article that had like panty liners for incontinence for both men and women, and they were the same price. But the men's one had like 25% more pads in it than the women's for no reason. So children's toys tend to cost 7% more, and then children's clothing tends to cost about 4% more. So if you research the brands that you purchase, you can essentially use your voice to, or your non-purchasing of that brand to say that you care about that disparagement. So what the article recommends is setting up a Google alert for pink tax, and then you will be up to date whenever news breaks about a company that is perpetuating the pink tax. And so one of the experts cited in this article say that only when vendors feel the pinch, which means you not buying from them, will meaningful price reductions occur. Because for-profit companies don't do things for people because it's nice. They do things for people because it's profitable. So the only way to get somebody to change is to give them financial incentive to do so.
And so along those lines, is the article recommends be a part of eliminating the pink tax with some of the things that you've just mentioned, Jen, of setting up those alerts, being aware, keeping an eye on companies that you purchase from and how much your products are and how much the alternatives to those things are. And really just essentially being a smart consumer and bringing the pink tax to light, whether that's in conversations that you have, or even if you want to go so far as to writing companies, letting them know of your awareness, switching who you purchase from, you can be taking steps in your actions and how you spend your dollar to speak and let your voice be heard in that way.
And then next is to support companies and legislation taking a stand against the pink tax. So there are plenty of companies, and you can find them if you set up that Google alert. You'll also be alerted to companies that are doing putting out press releases saying that they are fighting against the pink tax. And so you'll know better which companies to support. And so this is a reason why we think frugality is so important. You buy fewer things, therefore you have more money to support the companies and brands that are doing good things, that are prioritizing that, because oftentimes it is a little more expensive than getting the cheapest store brand. But we think it's important. So, but not just companies, like legislation too. So the website Tax-Free Period displays a map of the U.S. and you can click to see if your state has a tax on tampons, but not on non-essential items. So, for example, Colorado has a tampon tax, but private jet parts are untaxed. So stuff like that. And so then go out, like, do something about it. Send an email, write a letter, make a call. Like, those are the most important things. And then also vote. Voting's coming right around the corner, I think. Have you heard?
I think some
would say. Have you heard a date, Jill?
Oh, yeah. I've heard a little bit of something November.
Ish. So, so do that. and then also, make sure that you are staying up to date about legislation that affects you as a female. Mm-hmm.
And last but not least on this list, they recommend using credit card rewards to offset the pink tax. Now, this is with the caveat that we recognize credit cards are not the end all be all. They are not going to solve everything. And for some of us, they are not our best option for staying on track financially. However, they can be useful in this regard to help eliminate or offset the pink tax. In finding a credit card that maybe rewards you with extra cash back or certain items, bonuses in different categories that you might be interested in for the things that you shop for the most. So they have a link on here for different types of rewards credit cards, and you can pick one tailored to the types of purchases that you make so that you can be sure that you are being rewarded for those purchases. And that's one way to stick it to the man. And
full so stop here, like full disclosure, The Simple Dollar is a website and they make money from affiliate commissions when you sign up for credit cards through their links. So that is 90% of why this is number six. But 10% is that rewards credit cards are a good idea in general to, you know, get those welcome bonuses and increase your credit line, ladies. Like, get your no annual fee credit card and leave that thing open. Increase your credits. Go.
Mm-hmm. Bring yourself up those 9 points. No, you know what? Make it 10 or even 11 beyond
make
your mail
it 11.
Counterpart.
You know what else we're making 11 out of 10?
Ooh, it's the
Bill of the Week.
last minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi, this is Rachel from Kansas. My favorite bill of the week is the bill for my son's birth. My son was born 7 months ago, and we received the hospital bill last week. I expected it to be high since we have a high deductible health insurance plan, but was surprised when the bill said we owed $6,025. I double-checked our insurance claim and found out the hospital overcharged us by $2,285, the amount our insurance said we saved by using our insurance. Thankfully, a quick call to the hospital got the error corrected, and we only owed $3,740. Make sure you always double-check those bills.
100% Rachel. Yes. Always, the hospital is always wrong. 100% of the time, they're wrong on something. Even if it's not in the money, they're going to be wrong on something. And then always negotiate the bill down. Always ask for a painful discount or some kind of discount. Because they'll give it to you. You just have to ask.
Oh, just to be paying attention and taking a little bit of time to call. It is annoying. I'm not going to act like it's not.
So annoying.
Or frustrating, time consuming. But you just saved $2,000 because of catching that and making a phone call. Well done. And congratulations. I hope that you're enjoying life with your new babe.
Yes. Oh, and you're just getting out of the really sucky time. Like, it's all up here.
Not everybody
here, baby girl.
Finds it sucky, Jen.
Oh, sorry. I mean, it's a blessing. Have fun.
If you want to leave us a bill about all your blessings of the week. No, just keep it. Stick to bills. They can be blessing bills. Visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. Leave us your bill. Thank you.
Yes. And today's bill is brought to you by Fundrise. So a few weeks ago, I had a financial advisor look at our retirement accounts, and he told us in order to have a well-balanced portfolio, we needed more alternative or tangible investments like real estate. Well, we're nowhere near ready to buy an investment property, but I found Fundrise to be a great alternative.
So Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high quality, high potential real estate as easy as investing in mutual funds. Their team of real estate professionals carefully vets and actively manages all of their real estate projects and makes it easy to track your portfolio's performance and watch as properties across the country are acquired, improved, and operated via asset updates.
Yeah, so there are IRA options available, but you can also use it as a way to save for something long-term because after 5 years, there are no fees to withdraw your initial investment. So it's a great, I mean, high-yield savings accounts are not so high-yield anymore. So if there's something that you want to save for, but it's, you know, 5+ years in the future, this is a great way to do it.
So if you want to add real estate to your portfolio, visit fundrise.com/frugal to get your first 90 days of advisory fees waived and start building your better portfolio with Fundrise today. Now it's time for
the lightning round. So today we are talking about personal pink tax experiences.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
This is your Halloween special.
Yes. Get ready. It's so spooky. So because I was only introduced to the pink tax last year, I am not as familiar with it. But I have found, as the mom of a son, that I actually can save a lot more money because everything I can use everything unisex. And so with girl stuff, I found that, I mean, and even for me, I know if I had a girl, I would be much more prone to getting the frilly stuff and the accessories and all this extra floof. Like I could see myself doing it. I'm not above it. But with a boy, I feel like he's going to destroy everything. And so I spend money on nothing. I make sure
nothing to destroy.
I give him trash to play with and other people's hand-me-downs. And so I parent very affordably. And I know that that is in part due to the fact that I have a son instead of a daughter.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's other parents that feel differently or the same. I've never had a daughter, so I don't know. But I'm just comparing it to the other reasonable parents I know. Yeah. That it seems like they spend a little bit more.
Part of that is pink tax. Maybe part of that is just you choosing to spend more. But the items are actually more money. And I mean, mm-hmm. we even see, like, go to just Target or Walmart and you see that the sections are even larger. Like, there are a lot more girl items mm-hmm. that you can purchase than there are boy items to purchase. And very similar types of onesies, outfits, you name it, are more money in the female version than the male version. So that's the pink tax. But of course, your own desire to consume those things, you can control.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. But I think there's the option to buy more things for your daughters. I don't think it's just numbers. I think it's also like mental too. Mm-hmm. Like marketers taking advantage of people.
Yeah. My experience, well, one of them that stands out to me with the pink tax, I used to be a case manager at a home for, it was a residential facility for youth. So they both lived there and went to school there. It was quite the scenario. And as case manager, that pretty much meant I was the parent to 15 teenagers. That was funny to watch. I basically don't remember much of my life at that time because it was insanity, responsible for everything from court appearances to like getting them clothing and taking them for haircuts. So what I want to talk about is the haircuts. I had this brilliant idea. Okay, I've got 15 teenagers that are pretty much all, they're mine. Like, they're my responsibility entirely. And they all need haircuts, so I'm going to do this in batches. And I had one female on my caseload who had very, very short hair, and she wanted to, like, get a buzz cut. Like, she wanted a typically male type of haircut, and she wanted to go to the barber for it. So I took her along with a group of five other young teenage boys to a barber. And the barber told me he would cut all of the boys' hair, but he would not cut the girls' hair, even though it was the exact same thing. If I could even say, like, a lot of the guys' hair was longer than her hair. So it wasn't a matter of like length or technique or anything. It's not like she had a head shaped differently than the rest of them. I don't know. I couldn't explain it. Like, I went back and forth with him for quite some time. Like, what do you mean you can't do her hair? I don't have the licensing for it. What do you mean you don't have the licensing for it? It's the head of hair. I can't do it. You're gonna have to take her someplace else. So anyhow, long story short, I had to take her to a salon where, yes, we spent more than triple the amount on her haircut, mostly because this barber only charged like $8 to cut the guy's hair. And then we went to a salon where I think we had to pay like $40, $45 for her to get like a buzz cut. So that was, I mean, that was like 10 years ago, and that still stays with me. I don't know. I haven't looked into it. I mean, maybe a barber can get on line and correct me, like, if there are actually licensing differences. But yeah, even
they are
still,
different schools. So I don't, I mean, here they are different schools in Florida.
Right. I get that. And I was under the impression that it was like the type of cuts that you're doing that you're licensed for, you know, and maybe you're not going to do color, or you're not going to do manicures, or you're not going to do certain things like that. But either way, I think it's a problem. So
yeah, for sure. Wow. Well, if you have any pink tax experiences that you found solutions for. We'd love to hear in the Frugal Friends community on Facebook. This is not a place to complain about your pink tax experiences, but we want to hear constructive like solutions to help other people that have the same problems in their life. So please get into the group and help other people, because when it's through community that we fight this and that we fight that disparagement in pricing. Mm-hmm. It's and a little
save
thing,
money but and live yeah. more frugally.
Yeah, it's a little thing, but it will make a difference for our daughters and their daughters in the future. Mm. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening. And thank you for your kind reviews as well on iTunes and Stitcher. Like this one, feeling validated and free from Sweetheart 217. I just listened to episode 107 and had been feeling lost after having tried several methods. I had an unrealistic goal. I'm on a journey to be debt-free and kept beating myself up because of my age. After listening, I feel validated that my goals are realistic. And so what if it takes me 5 years? At least I'm doing something about it. Thanks for this podcast. Mm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Validate. You can't solve the normalize. World.
You can't fix everything. Mm-hmm. But at least you're doing something. And that is the goal. So encouraging. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Sweetheart. We also want to thank our friends who share these episodes on social media. When you share the latest episode and tag us on Facebook or Instagram, we're adding you to our monthly drawing. Here's what the drawing is. For every 5 tags and reviews we get each month, we give away a copy of the Frugal Friends workbook.
Mm. Yes. So if you want one of those, keep leaving us reviews on iTunes or Stitcher and sending the screenshot to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to tag us on social.
See you next week.
Peace.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
How's your sugar fast going?
We just did it for a detox for 3 days.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And then, so it should have been longer, but we went on our, you know, our anniversary trip. So we were like, we're just going to do 3 days. Mm-hmm. And it was difficult, but good. I kept the fatigue and headache away with just some extra black coffee. I typically have 1 cup a day, and I think I was averaging, I did 3 cups the first day, 2 the second day, and then I was down to just the 1 on the last day. So,
well done.
It was okay for me. Travis was feeling it a little more than I was.
Mm-hmm. Did he drink coffee?
No. And then he criticized my drinking of it, which he does regularly. So I am unfazed.
Mm. Good to know.
It's none of my business as I sip my coffee with my pinky up.
Oh, well, good job trying to better yourself.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I lost like 7 pounds or something.
Nuh-uh. In 3 days.
Yeah. Oh, but it's back now, girl. So, you know, you can't be perfect. You just got to make little improvements.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I'd do it again for sure. But
yeah, just more coffee next time and less judgment.
Oh, yeah, always. Probably the same amount of judgment, but more coffee.